This is a continuation of the interview with people of the 23rd Army Division. Same date, same time as all that has proceeded. The information you will hear will be classified confidential in no form. Sir, do you have your complete name and job title?
Lieutenant Colonel John C. Grant, Senior Advisor, 45th Island Regiment.
Yes, sir. Sir, how long have you been in your present assignment?
10 months.
Right. Well, sir, could you describe the role your regiment has played during the Battle of Khartoum?
Yeah. We came to... I think we should start it out this way. We initially came to the Khartoum playthrough area in 1 April. And in charge with opening the road between Khartoum and Flakeville, Khartoum.
Where'd you come from?
We had been in Funyon, south of Flakeville. We got to Firebase 42, about 5 clicks north of Flakeville, on 1 April. And for a 22-day period, we managed to keep the road open. And then the NBA really decided they wanted to close it. And on the 22nd of April, the road was closed. We continued operating in that area until the 7th of May, when we were brought here. During the period that we were at Firebase 42 and operating on the road, we took over 400 casualties. And so by the time we arrived in Khartoum, let's say we're not in the best of shape.
Well, why were you sent to Khartoum?
Okay, to bolster the 23rd Division forces here. And when we initially arrived, we were in reserve and located over here at the 44th Regiment, which is currently the
5 players, please don't go ahead. I talked to you on the take of air and
stayed in the general
address for a month. Don't even hear it now, you know it.
At least the regimental headquarters did.
The bomber base is trying to contact you from about 5 and say that
reorganized to a degree.
And
our battalions very commonly would be attached out. The other two regiments used to say in Canada to the 45th Regiment Headquarters Control. And as far as the Regiment Headquarters is concerned, we are cooling it for a while. Let's see, I guess after about 3 weeks of reserve, we were moved out to assume the position of the lead of the 44th Regiment over to the northwest, and we were charged with the defense of the northwest. The main attack came. This is really the second attack, and it hit into the city and hit principally up around the 44th area. Deer also get out in the northwest side of town. And at one point in the exercise, actually on the 27th of May, we figured that we had three NVA battalions around the CP. And they had also penetrated behind us through the main defensive line into like that and out here. And so for about a day's period of time, we were cut off. Single signal intercept messages indicated that the CP area secured by one of our battalions was to be attacked that night with three battalions. So throughout the day and through most of the night, we put airstrikes in a circle right around us as close as 300 meters to the forward elements. Whatever the case, apparently the air, and this was later validated by documents that we captured off an NVA body, they had planned to attack us that night, the 3rd Battalion. The air on them all day long spoiled it. And the next morning, regimental headquarters, the battalion that was securing us, and two other battalions of the 45th Regiment, D&E'd out of this area, withdrew back into Khartoum, and then helped to establish the lines as they exist now. So of the three regiments, the 44th, I would say, is taking the most heat. The 53rd would be next. And the 45th, by virtue of being in reserve when the initial attack came, the front, when the second attack came, but was not principally directed at us, so we did obviously have our own little heat for a while. And but of the three regiments, I would say the 45th is taking the least of it.
So did you have your own artillery while you were out there?
Well, it's all consolidated under the division artillery. And they had, of course, their artillery liaison types.
You were well within range of artillery while you were there. You had four battalions, sir, or three?
Four.
Infantry?
Four infantry battalions plus a recon.
Recon company. M41 tanks?
Tanks were attached to us out there. We did have the American, a section of the American total personnel attached to us. They were not used while we were out on the northwest side of town. We did use them in support when we pulled back in on the 28th of May. We did use them in support of our troops as they attacked into the bunker areas up in the Naval Hospital area north of where the 44th is now.
Okay, sir, what happened next if you got back into the city?
Well, we occupied positions again, primarily oriented towards the north, northwest, and west portion of the division's perimeter.
This is about what time, sir?
This, what day?
Yes, sir.
This would be like the 29th of May. We did keep a battalion out there. Where our CP had formerly been, it was kind of a strong point forward of the main line. And subsequent to the 29th of May, we also moved our recon company to occupy a position to the, again, the strong points of the way out forward of the western perimeter, if you will. Since we have been here, there have been no major probes at the front. Our 2nd Battalion occupying the easternmost portion of our perimeter was used to help clear the area north of where 44th is now in the hospital area.
They came in, they're the ones that came in behind the enemy?
They came in behind. They were pretty unsuccessful getting there pretty quickly. Supported, incidentally, by the American full platoon, fired from here and hit bunkers to their front. Again, since we've been on this perimeter, other than this action behind us, and clearing actions behind the perimeter, there were a few VC snipers and this sort of thing out here. They were not hit at all in front. And so, our major actions, let's say at some point, I can't tell you specifically what day, but let's say the day that
that the northern area in town was cleared when we began operating to the front. And since that period, and we're talking about like maybe 5 to 6 June, and you'd have to confirm that date, we had been on operations out to the front and now out to, starting to say it started out pretty conservatively, like 2 or 3 clicks from the front, and is now out as far as 10 or 15 clicks.
So in addition to the TOW missiles, what other anti-tank weapons do you have organic to your regiment?
The M72, every damn soldier almost got one of those. We also have 2 M106s. Were picked up after the main action started. They were not available in the tank threat. At least they weren't available to us. They may have been transferred to us when we assumed this strike.
On a percentage basis, sir, can you give us an average to the strength of what your battalions are at this time, or doing the fighting up to now?
I think the lowest has been the battalion. Was our 2nd battalion one time down to about 260, 270.
So you're saying you have 400 man battalions?
Roughly 400. I think personnel-wise, we haven't been hurt more than officers. We've had 2 battalion commanders wounded, 1 very, very seriously. 8 company commanders, 4 of whom have been killed, 4 of whom were wounded, 2 of whom will be back someday, but the other 2 probably are done. And they've hurt us pretty bad, and the officer-wise.
But what do you think is going to happen next as far as the enemy is concerned?
I personally, the division people, I think they're the feeling that they may try again. And I think politically, they're obligated, from a high-level standpoint, it would seem to me that they're obligated to try again. What I think is going to happen, the orders are going to be issued from Hanoi, maybe down to B3 front, and then down to the division, but I don't think the division's going to do it. I just don't think they have the capability to come back. And if they did, I think they'll be
Yes, sir. Did you have any coordination you had to do with the RFPF types?
To a degree. And since we've been back occupying the northwestern side of the division, current perimeter, we are responsible on the west down to just to the north of the road that runs up the west. And the RFPF occupy are responsible for the road and the road in on south. And thus, we've been out there on 2 occasions to coordinate with the pirate people. On one of these occasions, my original commander and the province chief actually made a trip out on the ground to maintain coordination.
Do you have a question? Are you satisfied with the air support you've been getting, sir?
Definitely. Absolutely satisfied. In my view, I think the 4 key factors in the Avon being able to hold Canton are 1, not necessarily in this order, you can break this angle you want. I would say 1 would be intelligence, with a strong point being signal intercepts. D.C. have really been stupid in that regard. I would say 2, air support, with gunships and TAC air. TAC air has been superb. 3 would be the Avon soldier. And who else is going to... The artist is going to go back to the Avon channel. I would say, excluding the leadership in many cases, I would say the Arvin soldier who held his goddamn ground, his NCOs, and in some cases a junior officer, I think is the 3rd point. And the 4th, the VC has stopped fought very damn stupidly. Their whole exercise has not been coordinated. Tanks coming in with no infantry, tanks coming in running out of gas, artillery that supports them at the wrong time and in the wrong place. And to me, then, those 4 things, I think,
Do you think of anything else we should know about it, sir, or that based on what we said we're trying to accomplish here that might be of value to you?
Defense. Well, What I'm trying to say is that from my experiences with 10 months with this regiment, the Avon soldier is so much better equipped to fight defensively than he is offensively. It's there's no comparison whatsoever. On offense, the Avon soldier, let's put it in regimental terms. The regimental commander will give the order. Very dedicated, fairly high charging guy. Battalion commanders will give the order. They're dedicated, fairly high charging guys. They go down to the company commander who will issue the order, and the troops will attack up to the point where they get shot at, and then everybody will lay down and shoot back and forth at each other. And then the next obvious point of the exercise is just the massive fire support, with the commander's desire being to kill everybody there, and then they walk in and get the body count. Fire maneuver business, none of that. Real hard charging assault, you seldom see that. And it's a weakness that perhaps we've talked about. Give them all this goddamn massive air support and fire support and do it that way, and then they move in.
What do you think about the enemy fighting ability?
They've been as good as they used to be. They obviously got some dedicated troops. Based on my previous experience dealing with NVA, this is a different breed of cat.
Based on your previous comments about the use of tanks and the control and lack of coordination,
it was terribly lacking. The indications of EC running, NVA running, which is goddamn rare. It's been fun with the in the past.
You said figures expensive. You already hit the forces in this?
Yeah. He's a G3 advisor of the 7,000 division in Delta. Mm-hmm. I've not been with the American Union, but I've always been an advisor of the
president. Well, I appreciate your comments, sir, and that concludes the interview. All that has proceeded is confidential note form. This is 22 June 1972 at Khartoum, and we're still talking with the advisors assigned to the 23rd Infantry Division, Auburn. We are trying to interview Lieutenant Colonel Gannon, who has been with the 53rd Regiment. How long, sir?
One month.
The interview with Major Cash, all that follows will be confidential, no form. Sir, would you describe what your regiment has been doing since it's been here?
Well, since the time that I've been here, the regiment has been actively engaged in the defense of Khartoum City, defending to the north and to the east, generally from the major highway QL-14, all the way to the east as far and south of the river to refuse the eastern flank where it bends around the eastern portion of the city of Khartoum.
So you consider this area one of the most likely avenues of approach from a tactical standpoint for the enemy?
Protecting the major avenue of approach in conjunction with the regiment on its western flank, which is QL-14. By definition, it's the high-speed approach into the town and would give ready and rapid access to the two bridges over the town, just immediately south of the city.
All right, so how well prepared do you think the 53rd was for the defense of Khartoum? Did they have all the people and equipment, or were they less than perfect in strength?
They were considerably under strength. I was positive that when I came to the regiment was at approximately 75% strength in people and in equipment. They didn't have their 106 recoilless rifles with them initially, which would have been a very useful weapon, and, especially in to deter the enemy's tank attacks.
So what about your battalions? How would you rate the regiment compared to the other two regiments?
Very difficult to answer. I haven't been with the other two regiments, and I haven't been with the division long enough to really formulate an honest and objective professional opinion.
What assignment did you have before you came here? Did you just arrive in country, or were you in another?
No, I was assigned to UITG as a battalion commander.
Right. All right, sir, could you describe the high points that occurred while you were here so far as the fighting was concerned?
I felt that the critical days were the 25th, 26th, and 27th days of May. I can only comment on the 27th because in the evening of the 27th I was wounded and evacuated.
Could you describe how you were wounded and evacuated, sir?
Well, I was over the regimental CP, which is the eastern portion of the zone of action, and we had a resupply, and we were taking some shell fire, and in order to ensure that the supplies got off the landing zone, I was organizing and assisting in the evacuation of the supplies from the LZ so that they would not be destroyed.
How were the supplies being brought into?
Being brought in by helicopter.
Chinook or
being brought in by UE. And the enemy was shelling the area on the leg, the upper portion of the lower leg.
Okay, so what about to that time? What was the enemy activity like? Were you actively involved in the defense of the airfield? No, my regiment was more concerned with the defense to the immediate north from QL-14 to the east as far as the river, and from the north down along the horseshoe bend in the river to the junction of approximately 8089. What about the that particular terrain you just described? What would you say would be the weakest from a defensive standpoint? Where you would think would be the place you'd have to be most worried about an enemy attack? Well, because of the river, the enemy could, and because of the paucity of troops present, the enemy could bypass Khantoum City to the east, or for that matter to the west, very easily by moving through the high ground and moving down the river valley and just ignoring the division that was defending Khantoum City per se. Mm-hmm. Do you think your regiment coordinated and worked close coordination with the units on its right and left flanks? Or did you have any problems in command and control or anything? There were some problems, incident with the coordination with the regiment on the west flank, but no more than I think one would experience in any combat operation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these things just break down. Mm-hmm. All right, so when did you arrive back at the regiment after you'd been wounded and evacuated? I came back on the 14th of June. Mm-hmm. Was there any significant combat activity subsequently? No, since I've been back, it's been very, very quiet. Catch a couple of artillery rounds or rocket rounds, and that's it. No major contact, no major shellings or rocket attacks. Do you think the artillery fire has been observed fire or just random fire? Some of the other regiment officers seem to think that it is. I think it's been observed. I think it's been observed since the way that they have fired in distinct patterns and repetitively fired in the same pattern and rapidly switched.
The firing had a bit of a disadvantage to us in speed, I agree.
Yeah. Where was that? Right over here. The old CP was right there, and there were four guns in there, and the enemy very methodically knocked out two of them.
These are artillery pieces?
Two artillery pieces, and just the manner in which he shelled that position repeatedly, you have to give them the capability of conducting observed fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, behind that one, both the guns were moved. After they were just 2 seconds after they were moved. And the same day, they finished moving them across the perimeter. And
they fired, attempted to engage the guns.
Right in the area where the guns were. Mm-hmm. And that was the first round fired. They weren't adjusting.
Do you recall what day this was, roughly?
I can probably find out.
It was probably around,
somewhere between the 14th.
About the 17th. 17th or 18th, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
What mistakes do you think the enemy has made in so far as tactical operations? I think the enemy has not made use of his mass of infantry, and he has not employed his armor well, but he's employed his tanks piecemeal. And if on any given evening when he had 12 or 15 tanks available, if we had had to deal simultaneously with 12 or 15 tanks rather than 3 or 4, we would have been in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. Question, sir, about how did you feel about the arm and artillery support given to your regiment? Was it timely and accurate, or...?
Sometimes the artillery is timely and accurate, but the problem that I've noticed is when they go into fire for effect with battery, say 6 rounds, they lay very finely for the initial round. But when they fire the subsequent rounds, the gunner and the assistant gunner do not relay. They do not level up. So therefore, each time the piece recoils, it's riding out of battery a mil, 2 mils, 2.5 mils, and each mil is going to subtend an arc of 1 meter at 1,000 meters, each 1,000 meters of range, which can become a gross error, contingent upon where the round would have landed had the gunner leveled up.
How do you feel about the leadership of the... the small unit and, say, the company-sized unit and the battalion regimental leadership displayed by the organists?
Some of the leaders are very fine, and some of them just abdicate from the responsibility of physically leading and commanding. And that they are very, very reluctant to bring their physical presence to bear on the battlefield when you're right down there in the nitty-gritty, the head-knocking and nut-cutting.
How about their support, sir? Are you satisfied with the
United States Air Force has outdone itself in... its responsiveness, its flexibility, and its enthusiasm for doing the job, as has the United States Army helicopter-borne weapons systems.
What about the V-MAV Air Force, sir? Would you give them the same sort of an accolade for it?
When they are available, they seem to do a good job. However, there have been times where there has been an absolute reluctancy on their part to attack certain targets. For example, there was a day, I don't recall the precise date, but there were 3 12.7-millimeter machine guns engaged in an anti-aircraft roll, and the 2 VNAV fighters absolutely refused to engage this target.
What about the aerial resupply? Were you here during the time when that had to be switched over? When the airstrip was closed?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you satisfied with the Air Force resupply capability? There have been some complaints about the amount of streamers and missing the drop zone and so forth and so on. We have a short of supplies during this period. To the best of my ability, I was never critically short of anything that I really needed at that particular point in time. And it's the fact that a load of streamers, despite the most meticulous attention by the riggers and the personnel affecting the parachute rigging and loading, that these things happen. I mean, for 10 years in a parachute regiment, the Special Forces, I can comment on the fact that sometimes loads just come in with a great bliffet, despite everyone's great plans. Well, you...
or 16 people as crew, ammunition bearers, and to provide local security. And with this, the greater size and weight,
say when those aircraft were destroyed, the two C-130s?
I was around. I was here when the one over there, it came in, it blew its tire, it lost its hydraulics, they were attempting.
The repair took more than the duration of the evening. And again, another reason why I think the enemy definitely was shooting observed fire. After about six rounds, he did hit the one or the other wing of the aircraft, setting it afire. I think he hit the right wing.
Is this one of them?
I'm not sure what they hit it with.
How about the other one, sir? Were you around when that one crashed?
When it crashed?
Yeah. Do you know what happened when it crashed?
It took off with the... I think it took off with the ramp down. The ramp hit the river deck again the wrong way. He took off and just rolled over and augured in. At that point, I was about 500 meters away from the seabed.
Is there anything about it?
Well, all there is ash. All there is ash. The thing was completely consumed. It just must have had it.
Hey.
I thought somebody that's
what
I
said. Yeah,
he was here. Yeah, he went over there and attempted to pull the people out of Vasquez. He's Colonel Kingston's aide de camp.
Did he get anybody out?
He brought three bodies.
They got one guy, the Lord Master, they got out alive.
Well, the people got out alive. There was a number of U.S. aircraft here. When I saw the plane crash, they sat down right next to
me. Oh, okay.
So the crew chief, the one running in the back of the plane, got the pilot over.
Yeah, well, right. Right here. There's a brick factory. The thing came off. It hit the brick factory, made it across the river, and just hog it in like that. When you take off, the gas was to fly over the eastern end of the runway and look out here, you'll see just the minimal chart remained of what was once a
C-130. That's what I heard. We were talking about a third fire here.
Yeah.
Back in those days, aircraft would land on the runway and go run for buttons. Yes, 5-10 minutes. At the most, you'd hear a rocket or a 105 or something coming. Well, many times it weren't hit. But then again, it was not going to hit the fuel. Fire down here, start that much fire.
Yeah, they dropped an ammunition dump down here. Actually, we saw that. What do you think is the story for the city now, sir? Everybody, we got some mixed opinions from various people. Some say there won't be a attack. Others say that the NBA shot the loot. Others say that they just wait for another week or two. Do you have any educated guesses on that, sir?
Well, I think the enemy will be back. I don't think he'll be back tomorrow, but he will be back.
Well, why do you think he'll be back, sir?
Because he has always come back. He thinks since 1963 until now, which encompasses my personal experience, when he wanted something, he always came back, and he was never reluctant to do so. And never at all hesitant.
So, I think he'll be back. What was the Allied troops feeling? The soldiers bearing down. Their tanks bearing down.
Their ship was weak. They did stay, and some of them did engage the tanks with the war. And if they didn't destroy the tank, they at least disturbed the tank or immobilized the tank and facilitated its destruction by other means, usually by air.
Did you observe any of the tanks that were advancing on the positions, putting any were they putting red fire on the position?
Yes, they were firing both with their coax and with their main armament.
What dates were this?
The tanks got in here, what?
Tanks came in Natalia, 23rd, 26th.
They were in the...
Well, the first time
I guess they were in the war about the 23rd. And I guess they got into the town about 24, 25, 26, 27. I think the
first tanks we killed were back on the 14th. That was the fourth regiment out there, by the 4th regiment.
Yeah, but beyond that,
they were really from about the 18th on, though, tanks were nightly into the defensive position. They got into the town, I would guesstimate, about the 24th, would you?
Breaks it down, Jesus. I've seen three or four of them that have been taken, and they were complete in every detail.
The day we recaptured these compounds up there with a calf, Gavin Jordan's used to be, we found in there a 23mm anti-aircraft machine gun, CP-1. That's so big, it's got the seat mount on the rear, and the gunner sits on the seat on the gun. It took about 8 armaments to carry just the gun, let alone the tripods and the ammunition.
Yeah. I'd say for that they probably need a crew of about 24 people to transport it and to secure it.
I'd say that
23 might.
That's one of the things that makes us believe that when they came into the city, they came in. When they came into the city, they came in prepared.
Yeah, they weren't fucking around.
They wouldn't have brought stuff that big this close in if they thought they were going to...
Ordinarily, with the 12.7, they have 15 or 16 people as crew, ammunition bearers, and to provide local security. And with the greater size and weight of the 23 Mike and its ammunition, you just have to up that number to 24 or 25 people.
But you wouldn't find a weapon like that below probably a regiment on the side, you know, at a minimum.
That's a B-52. What the fuck are they doing so low?
Do you have anything else to test around? That concludes the interview. Everything that has proceeded is classified confidential, no form.
Same date, same time frame. This is a continuation of the interview with personnel, advisory personnel of the 23rd Auburn Division at Khartoum. All that follows will be confidential, no form. This is an interview with Colonel James Bricker, the Deputy Senior Advisor for the 23rd Auburn Division. Sir, how long have you been assigned to your present job?
I've been here since January. What's that? I don't know right now.
The But we've been, I've been here in Khartoum since the 22nd day of April, so I arrived as a regional team with the 23rd forward here. Where had the 23rd Division been prior to that, sir? The 23rd Division as DTAOR covered 11 and a half provinces. We had regiments in Songmao, Davao, Bonny Took, and then they were further subdivided down. We had part of the 44th at An K. We had part of the 45th at Funan, and we had some at Pleiku, and we were spread out all over the two corps. This is one of our real problem areas for getting the division together to really to perform the first time together in combat as a division. And they closed here the night of the 13th of April. Of May, the whole division, and the main attack place on the 14th. So.
So when did you first find, get word that your division would be deployed here to Khartoum? In other words, when you were notified and when you closed? You closed on the 13th. When?
Well, we were slowly deploying forward. In other words, we had a regiment at Funan, which was south of Pleiku. We had part of a regiment at An K, which regarding the route from Winyan to Pleiku, the Mengyang Pass. I reckon about the first air, first movement, so forth, back in early March. And then we moved on up one regiment came up to Pleiku and deployed to Fire Base 42. And 41 for the Khartoum Pass defense. Mm-hmm. And then they were deployed there fighting in the pass for Bush or so. And then we changed regiments there. The 53rd was in first, and then brought in the 45th. And then we started closing in here on the 22nd, that was the day that they passed, 22nd of May, April, that was the day the pass was closed.
So conceivably, if you had to have been reinforced by the county forces, what unit would have reinforced the 23rd, sir? Would you happen to know? Within two corps, or from anywhere else, as has ever been discussed?
Well, the only reinforcements we had that were not engaged were Ranger units, Border Ranger camps that did it. I've been pushed back and have suffered heavy losses and really have real morale problems. So that was only reinforcement. By the way, of course, through armor, we have 2nd Brigade, which the 3rd Cav reinforcements. The road being closed, but there were reinforcements we had. And of course, after the airfield closed, limited the number of people you bring up by what is limited to helicopters.
Right. Sir, would you describe what the general concept was for the defense of the city when the division had closed in? We talked to the regimental advisors. They described the ground and everything. Perhaps you could give us some more details on the concept from the division level.
Well, we were deployed to the north and west of the city. Of course, the time we moved in here, we had a 6th Ranger Group, 2nd Ranger Group, and we had a brigade of airborne. So the airborne was the Fire Base Bravo, which is north of Lodin. And, of course, Tancan fell 2 days after arrival. So our forwardmost element was at Fire Base Bravo, which is just north of Lodin. We had the airborne there, and then we had at Fire Base Lima, we had the 2nd, we had the 6th Rangers. And then at Fire Base November, we had 2nd Rangers. So we had 3 fire bases out in front of us. And as the enemy massed, brought a firepower against them, and then withdrew. And well, unfortunately, at Fire Base Lima, the Rangers were after nothing.
Columbia at Fire Base Lima. The Rangers there, after conducting a very successful battle, left their position.
You left one Howard Mitch?
No. And left their position, broke communication with us, and did not establish communication away from the fire base. So they had to EMP back for several days there. Unfortunate, because they had conducted a successful defense.
We're talking to the people back at Blakeco. They said recently that they had taken so much fire, so much casualty, that I forget who it was we talked to.
Well, they were not out of ammunition, and the casualties went right excessive. I think it was personal opinion is just about what defeated us up here. We had airborne, we had Rangers, and we had a division that never worked together. We had RAF that were pretty proud. Colonel Law was a very proud commander, and there was conflict there. So you had about three colonels at that time. General Ball was still a colonel at that time, relatively new to the division. And he had never worked with any regiments before. He worked with one of them, a small regimental operator. Well, this is one of the things that I think the most significant lesson learned is the unity of command. These people were fighting each other. They were reporting back to Saigon, reporting back to Pleiku, wherever their boss was located, and they're doing everything well pleased. And when we were able to live everybody else, just the regiments of 23rd year, they couldn't bicker with each other. They had to get along with the beloved feminist city. So again, Limo moved out of Lima. And we went back. November was the most northern. And we set up the defense sort of with our base out front, and then one regiment, two battalions along the longest road. Two battalions here. We had one battalion here, two battalions here, a battalion back here. And then we scrapped the fence line like this, and we had, of course, we had people across. We had the river line here, and it kept coming in, coming closer and closer. We just kept tightening. We finally had to withdraw from here, little first, then here, and we never did have to withdraw any further than here. We kept one battalion out there, which you have to do. You move it from there, mortar and mortar range above you. And to this particular area, either to get rid of the penetration or exploiting operation. But they are up in the south, and did fairly well after they got to the end. We had many, many problems with everybody digging. We just never had to dig in against guerrillas. You know, they've been running around chasing guerrillas day in, day out, and they had never really tested, been tested under fire, heavy concentration of mortar or artillery fires. Interested in armor, counter armor as well.
had in the Air Force are doing a fine job. The spookies and inspectors and the toads and everybody's doing a great job. But someone had to stay and fight, and they stayed up there. During the night, psychologically.
How about area resupply? Did that work effectively?
Area resupply. Yes, we had effective area resupply. Of course, we had many of our problems being a U.S. show, but a team here that was down to Paris. We lost the set. One of the A-level was killed, and we lost four of the five. So we had to be augmented by captains and lieutenants from various other places. So here we were building a team. And they've been involved in every operation, of course. This was the problem itself. Becoming operators, pretty much violent and working along the lines of the organization.
Did they use any smart bombs up here, the Air Force?
We had only one report of smart bombs, and we found out they were dead bombs next day. We had ordered up and had fragged smart bombs for the Russians. So we ended up having the attack units. Hedges with regular iron bombs, and we were successful. We knocked out one of the Japanese through. Near misses. Pretty good job of interrupting
those. So are you satisfied with the air support you received during this period?
Absolutely. Going back to what we were talking about on the air resupply, the problem here was that we could not lose airplanes, but we had to get the job done. The methods that we went about, the counter... Australia missile. We had to put up illumination at night so they could come in. You did have a struggle? Well, we had a threat. And there was two box fours that they reported that had been fired. And of course, this put everybody in a flat.
Do you recall the thing when this report came in?
It's in the log. It's about maybe 12 days ago. In that period, it's in the log. So without the submission of people, the lack of really a team, many of the requirements that Air Force placed on us. It was advanced to keep there.
So what do you think of the enemy's tactics and its attempts to take contact?
Well, the whole concept, as far as I'm concerned, starting off the big picture, is very, very stupid. Their constant drive to take the fire bases. Some of them were important, some of them were line of communication, some of them... We're not. To get bypassed and come right ahead. His inability to exploit success at town camps, for example. I don't think probably he just...
You mean by waiting after he took
it? I mean, waiting and waiting. And of course, I don't think it was beyond his most various expectation that he was going to be successful at town camp. But yet, if you look on the other hand at it, the other side of it, the complete surprise that he had with his tanks, huh? And I think he was pretty damn sure that no one knew that we didn't have the knowledge of his tanks. So he, in the relatively small number of tanks that he had, he was gambling that the tanks were going to be effective. So I think that itself, not being able to exploit his armor, and of course the way he used his armor. He had two battalions, and he ended up having 9 or 10 tanks back here and 9 or 10 tanks back there. Of course, maybe we destroyed a hell of a lot more tanks than, Mr. Van. I've seen only 17. Of course, he's been clubbing north and south.
just uncoordinated attack. Tankers ended up on the objective without any incident. One PW told us that he thought he was told that they were joking. He got to the objective, he saw infantry. And they were our infantry. They were Oregon infantry. And they knocked the hell out of his tank. They came down and they attacked into the built-up up here. You were up in the 44th, was why did they go into the built-up area? Why did they go on down, airfield, right into sector headquarters, and then back here? And built up here, lack of reconnaissance of the company commander's tank, the most forward one there, that was the company commander's tank. He had been highly decorated, and
was he killed?
He was killed. 69, a huge banner, flag, but beautiful thing, embroidery and everything, honor tank on, 1969 battle.
In his tank?
Yeah. And detailed diary of, all the various battles and so forth. And, so the use of armor, they fought like dogs. I mean to tell you, they're stubborn, they're tenacious. My hat's off to them. But it seemed like he just didn't have his tactics in order. I didn't know he was going to fight one or the other. I think he probably thought that the army would move out. What about the friendly side, sir? What are some of the things we should have done that we didn't do? Oh, God, that's a long list. We got up here, and it was basic fundamentals. We were up against a book, just like playing a bunch of basic trainings. Digging, carrying, cleaning their weapons, patrolling, again, a lack of aggressiveness on the part of all concerned. Well, with the exception of one regimental commander, I think the 45th regimental commander is very aggressive. I think the division commander is also very aggressive. But the problem of Arvin, which has been a long time, is they stay with the regiment a long time, and the regimental commander gets to know his troops, but thinks a lot of his troops, and he doesn't want any of them killed. General Baugh came in, and he loved his troops and so forth. But he hadn't become a father. He was a general, and when he gave the order, he brought in fires closely on the position. He gave orders to the airstrikes, extremely close and so forth. The regimental commander would lag. In general term, basic fundamentals. Basic fundamentals. He'd been fighting guerrillas and doing a damn fine job. But when he got up into having to set up a defense, we actually had to throw it out, lay it out, walk it off. I mean, when the fire started, the Vietnamese tank folded. They were not thinking rationally, and we just had to sit down and go out defense and walk a damn thing. Literally kick ass in order to get the thing done. Now, after a while, though, pick it up, and every battle, a little more confidence. And, initially, I was very discouraged about the whole mess. And, of course, the refugees streaming back, the 42nd Regiment, the 47th Regiment, thousands and thousands of refugees. They just tore us down to pieces over here, getting the refugees out there. And, but then, as the time went on, they have improved, and 100%. And I'm real proud of them. Short time, they've come around with it. And even offensive operations, they're doing good. But again, considering the time from the 14th, the first time, 14th day of May, the first time this division ever worked as a division, or ever was up against a real tough North Vietnamese unit.
I was wondering if I had asked this before about the, was the main avenue approach started initially down to at 42?
Absolutely.
And this was supposedly the 320th. Okay, the later on in the second division, joined them. Was this infiltration, did they come in from your northeast and your east?
No, the second came in with two primary regiments, E1, which was attacked up into this area, plus the 66th, and 141, which came in from the south. And we found evidence today of 60 bodies over across the river. 60 bodies that we had not known about. We thought we had killed at least an entire, but we hadn't proved it. And today, finding 60 bodies plus other bodies that we found so forth, equipment we pushed up. I just wish you people could have seen the equipment. We had one of those big houses, one of those big ones up there. We certified that the weapons. Matter of fact, we got out of Pontoon itself, right up in that area, right up in here, called Charlie area. We got the supporting weapons for a full regiment.
You mean a T-shirt? This, when they did come around and you found them coming in on the northeast part. Was this unexpected, or had intelligence given you an accurate picture that they were coming from this?
Absolutely.
We were never surprised. We had the camp out.
We did a magnificent job, and we really learned a lot from it, having American people. Well, I went with them many times, and at least I made right with the camp, so that we could call back and check. Here the guys were busting their honey for us, sticking their necks out. They don't mind doing it if they can have some retaliatory fires real quick like. So we rode with them so that we could give the necessary command attention to it to get the fire. And the caliph was usually a reliable source. Usually reliable source information that we had was outstanding, and it proved to be very effective. We had excellent exploitation of orchards. Excellent. I mean, he's been the two for this division for 5 years, and he knows everything there is to know about order battle. He has memorized. He dominates the three completely. He dominates anybody but the division commander. And
what's his grade, Lieutenant?
He's Lieutenant Colonel. Hard working. He's sick. He's sick all the time, but he works hard. He works himself into it.
So we've heard nothing but accolades, really, for the U.S. air power as it was used in Battle Cartoon. What about the VNAV?
VNAV improved daily, and finally, before the big battle was all over, VNAV were doing things that absolutely unheard of. They tackled at least six 51 calibers up here, right with the OA-1E, and destroyed two of them that I know of. Matter of fact, I wrote to Mr. Manson and on forward to a recommendation for war at this pilot. They right into the heat of the battle. For example, we were starting to be back out of play, because they might get to it, and they're 8 down o'clock. Flood battle joined up here. They were the first aircraft up here. Some days you couldn't get them off the field, so now it's so good. The pilots, for example, 10 can leave. The guy went down, Major Bowen, the squadron commander, picked up 22 people on the ground, because we hooked fail, took a hook up, and one engine went out, and bring the hook back to the VNAV. So they had about 71 people down there, and they got 52 of them out. He got 22 of them, so on the very. They've been very brave. They mistreated everything. The helicopters irritates all the Americans to see them max everything, you know. But, my hat's off to me. Close air support in towns and places, you know, we just couldn't have done it. And they were here when